BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Three sons of Hamas's political leader Ismail Haniyeh have been killed in an Israeli airstrike. They were reportedly travelling to a family Eid celebration. Hamas said four of Mr. Haniyeh's grandchildren were also killed. Israel said the sons had carried out what it called terrorist activities in the central Gaza Strip. Sebastian Usher has been following developments.
There is no sense that Israel is ending its operation there and it's continuing to target anyone that they regard as somebody who is a fighter, an activist for Hamas. So on that level, this is what Israel said it will do. On the response from Hamas and from Ismail Haniyeh himself, he has essentially said that this doesn't change anything, that he has already lost members of his family. So many other Palestinians in Gaza have as well. He's not going to let this shift or change the policy that Hamas is following.
President Biden has promised what he called ironclad support for Israel amid concerns that Iran is about to launch a significant retaliation for the killing of its commanders in Syria last week. The Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has again said Israel would be punished for the strike and its consulate. Will Vernon reports.
Concern has been growing in Washington over the increasingly aggressive rhetoric used by officials in Tehran. Mr. Biden said that American support for Israel was ironclad and the US would do all it can to protect the security of its ally. US officials are keen to send a very public message to the Iranians that despite differences of opinion between Mr. Biden and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over the conduct of the war in Gaza, any attack on Israel will be met with a forceful response by Washington.
After years of negotiation, the European Parliament has approved a sweeping reform of the EU's migration and asylum rules. It'll toughen border controls, speed up deportations, and require member states to share responsibility for refugees. The Democratic Party in South Korea has strengthened its majority in parliament, with nearly all votes counted from Wednesday's election. Together with its smaller ally, it's on course to win over 170 seats. Jean McKenzie reports.
These elections, although just parliamentary elections, they don't decide the president. They are being seen as a midterm referendum on the current president, Yoon Suk-yeol, who's been in office for 2 years now. Now, he has been unpopular from the start, but neither side expected him to be punished this much. If his party does lose in a big way, it will weaken his authority and make it nearly impossible for him to be able to push ahead with his agenda and pass legislation.
BBC News. The United States and Japan have announced what they called a new era of strategic cooperation with the building of a joint air and missile defence system. President Biden said the upgraded military pact was strictly defensive in nature. The Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida emphasised the importance of a free and open Indo-Pacific region amid a perceived growing threat from China. The ruling military junta in Mali has suspended all political activities in the country. A spokesman said the suspension was motivated by what he called sterile discussions during an attempt at national dialogue earlier this year. Here's Julian Bedford.
Opposition groups in Mali and the international community have been urging the military leadership to make good on their promise to restore democracy 4 years after they seized power. A presidential vote, which had been scheduled for February, was postponed and no new date has yet been set. Just last week, opposition parties called for elections to be held as soon as possible. The public enthusiasm that greeted the wave of coups across the Sahel is ebbing, as the military authorities fare little better than their democratically elected counterparts in ending the jihadist violence that has long been people's main concern.
Rights groups say an indigenous woman has reported Honduras to the UN Human Rights Committee in the first such challenge to an absolute ban on abortion. The woman, identified only as Fauzia, was raped and forced to give birth after being denied emergency contraception and an abortion. Canada's government says it's preparing for another potentially devastating wildfire season after a warmer than normal winter left little snow in the ground, compounding droughts in several regions. Last year's season saw more than 15 million hectares of forest go up in smoke.